Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
And it is November 24th. We are exactly 3 days before Thanksgiving Day. And so glad that you're with us. This is a live show we do once a week during the noon hour, and it airs on 910 AM to the east and 1140 AM to the west. And we're glad that you are with us. And it's an opportunity to just kind of catch up on things that are going on, talk about the weekend that was and what's ahead. And we've got a lot coming up, as you might expect. In fact, in the second half of the interview, second half of the show today, I am going to be speaking to Emmett Cahill. He is a world-renowned Irish tenor. He's coming to St. Elizabeth Anseton Parish in Keller for a Celtic Christmas concert on December 6th. And I'm not sure if he is in Ireland or in America, but I'm pretty certain, looking at his calendar, Cecil, on his website, emmettcahill.com, that he's probably in America. It's kind of interesting. He is from Ireland, and he's part of Celtic Thunder, and he's a big Irish, you know, singer. But every single one of his stops between now and Christmas is in America. So it's just kind of cool. I mean,
he's cool.
I mean, everything. I mean, I guess you don't want to be hopping all over the world. I mean, you got to kind of commit to one country if you're going to be, you know, bouncing around. But he'll be on the air with me via phone here in just a few minutes. And that will be the second half of the program. And in a few minutes, Cecil is going to take over the show and talk about a Catholic Foundation fall grant ceremony that she went to. And you may think, oh, that doesn't sound too exciting. But I'll tell you what's exciting about it is that all the different Catholic parishes and organizations and all of them that got grants from the Catholic Foundation for the fall were there to receive their grants. And so they're all in really good moods because they're all being blessed with a grant and they get to go up there for a couple of minutes and say thank you. And there's a lunch. And I had to miss it this time. It was, what about a week and a half ago, Cecil? I think it was on a Friday, a couple Fridays ago.
Yep, it was just a couple Fridays ago. I got to go out there and it was really fun to be able to do.
Yeah, so. I love those events. I mean, even if we don't receive anything, because typically, you know, you can only get so many grants, but just going out there and being in the midst of all those the pastors, and like I said, everybody's happy because they're getting grants, and Bill Kula and the team, Matt Kramer, and all the folks from the Catholic Foundation are there as well. So we'll have that report in just a moment from Cecil. Before that, I've got a few other things to let you know. By the way, speaking of Emmett Cahill and the Celtic Christmas concert at St. Elizabeth Anseton Parish on Saturday, December 6th, throughout the show today, I have some tickets that I can give you to that concert. Now, when you hear him, you'll probably get really excited because he'll tell you more about the songs that he's going to be playing and a little bit more about what to expect on December 6th. But if you'd like to get some tickets, I have a pretty decent number of them, maybe 15 or 20. But if you email me, I'm pretty sure I'll probably run out during this hour. But if you email me and tell me how many you would like let's say up to four, email Dave Palmer at grnonline.com. I have the physical tickets. Okay, so I got to mail them to you. But email me and give me your address and tell me how many you would like. But do so quickly. You might not even want to wait till he comes on here in about 30 minutes. And I will mail them to you and I'll get those to you ASAP so you can bring them to the concert next Saturday. Dave Palmer at grnonline.com. Again, this is a Celtic Christmas concert with world-renowned Irish tenor Emmett Cahill. He is the lead singer of Celtic Thunder, if you're familiar with that group. And so email me and let me know how many you would like, Dave Palmer at grnonline.com. And I'll tell you about a couple other events coming up very soon as well. Cecil, the Christmas Charathon starts a week from today.
I know. Isn't that crazy? It's so crazy to think about. So many things happening this week, and then we go right into the Christmas Charathon on Monday, which is December 1st. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Did you want me to talk about volunteers and meals?
Yeah. What are the needs?
Yes, we're doing pretty well with volunteers, but we could always use a couple more. Specifically this Monday, December 1st, we have a 1 to 7 p.m. shift that we could probably use one or two more folks on that. You can email me, kth@grnonline.com. If you'd like to volunteer for that, you get dinner. It's a lot of fun. It's festive. Joe just this morning already has decorated the office for Christmas, so we've got it kind of all going. It'll be a lot of fun. And then on Thursday morning, I think we could use one more volunteer as well. That's December 4th, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. So if you'd like to do that, you can also let me know. And I'm still looking for maybe one more meal volunteer. So if someone could donate a meal, either that's dinner on Tuesday or breakfast, lunch, or dinner on Thursday, and that's you either you can physically bring a meal, you can have a meal delivered, you can send me money, give me a budget, whatever works for you, I will work with
now,
it.
Thursday afternoon, you got all the volunteers you need?
Yeah, Thursday afternoon was a popular shift that we got filled up. But the other ones, I could probably fit one more person in there. But
I think I may know what's popular about Thursday afternoon because Steve and Cindy Porter
give the secrets away, Dave. I've been trying to figure out something just as exciting for a Thursday morning. Mimosas?
Yeah.
We do mimosas. Yes, we are very blessed. Usually on Thursday afternoons, we get wine and cake from Steve
Porter.
Wine
and cake and dinner.
And dinner
too.
Often from him as well.
And then they always decorate the cake with the theme of the Share-a-thon, which, by the way, is giving the gift of faith is the theme of the Share-a-thon this year. So I don't know if that's why Thursday afternoon is so popular or not, but wine and cake, I mean, it's a pretty big deal, but we thank the Porters. They almost always do that for us. So if you would like to volunteer, you can email kth@grnonline.com. That would go to both me and Cecil and just let us know which of those shifts you're able to. And you say one more meal could use?
Yes, one more meal.
Okay. And during the Share-a-thon, we're going to play some interviews. And I'm so happy about the ones that I did this time. Tom and Lisa Clark. From St. Michael the Archangel in Garland, they won the pilgrimage drawing last year. I forget which Share-a-thon it was. And, of course, when you win the pilgrimage drawing, he did it through his company, Hike for Life, and the Hike for Life won it. And then they said, well, Tom, we want you and your wife to go. So they had to decide where they're going to go. And so this was, I don't know, maybe a couple summers ago, and they decided to go to Rome because they knew the bishop that was leading it. And it turned out that while they were in Rome, the conclave was going on, and they had no idea. And the day before they left, Pope Leo was elected. And so Tom and Lisa Clark will tell about that experience. And obviously, it's also a promotion to make the donation during the Share-a-thon at that level, because you just never know what blessings may come if you give at the Archangel level. All right, so that's the Share-a-thon. Starts a week from today, 7 o'clock. And please, most importantly, plan to pledge and promote and pray for the Share-a-thon. We'd be very grateful for that. Weekend activities, anything noteworthy, work-related, or from last weekend?
From last weekend? Gosh, I don't think so. I think you were the one busy this last weekend. You got to go out and do a live remote. Yeah.
I put a picture up on Facebook as I was interviewing Father Eugene Okoli, who is the pastor of St. Gabriel the Archangel Parish in McKinney. And it was just so cool because they have this program they've been doing for 25 years now at the parish where they give out meals, turkey and stuffing and green beans, like a full Thanksgiving meal that can feed like 7 or 8 people. And people register ahead of time, no questions asked. If you feel like you could benefit from receiving a meal from St. Gabriel, you register, and they gave out 470 meals, and people were driving by and picking them up. And so they had all these volunteers, and Father Eugene was my first guest. And then in the background, you see the church. And I don't know if you've been to St. Gabriel in McKinney, Cecil. Mm. It's a beautiful church. And so I was interviewing Father Eugene, and then I saw all the volunteers and the cars driving by. And then beyond them, the church, I thought, this is a great picture. And you've probably done this, like in the middle of an interview. You ever taken a picture?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I always feel badly because like someone's answering a question. Yeah. And I'm listening to them, but I'm like, let me just get this quick little photo. Because I can't do it while I'm talking.
Yeah, I know, right. You got to. So as Father was answering a question, he's got an interesting story himself. But so thanks to Joey Assam and Kent Montgomery for the invitation to be out there. It was I enjoyed it. It was during the 9 o'clock hour on Saturday. All right. So a couple other things before we get to the Catholic Foundation segment of this first half of the Good News Show is don't forget about GRN Academy. This is something we started this year The second session, or, you know, the first session of 2026 is going to start January 19th. We have four classes that we're offering, including mine, which is called The Dignity of the Human Person, Made to God's Image. Carlo Broussard of Catholic Answers is teaching a class called Meeting the Protestant Challenge. Julie Carrick is teaching We Share Our Story. And then we also have, Dr. Ray Lopez teaching a class on Aristotelian metaphysics. But don't let that intimidate you. The class is called The Unmoved Mover, Aristotle's Glimpse of God. And Dr. Ray is a real approachable guy, very fun. And if you go to grnonline.com/academy, I just want to recommend that you do this as a gift to yourself for Christmas or Advent, or maybe gift somebody else. Now, make sure they can actually take the class, of course, but it's the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, one of these classes. But we're very excited about the Academy, and we expect it to grow in 2026. But if nothing else, go to that website and see the four classes we're offering in January and see if one of those may not be a good fit for you. And let's see, just one other thing, because I know, Cicel, you need some time to get all your clips in the story about Catholic Foundation. But I want to tell you about two other things that are happening in December that I think you're really going to be interested in. And one of them is Christmas Joy Park. And I'm really excited about this. It's going to be at St. Jude Parish in Allen on their campus. And if you know St. Jude Parish in Allen, they got a pretty big lot there. And every, you know, fall they do the big carnival. But Christmas Joy Park is going to be December 19th through the 22nd, which I think is Friday through Monday, so right before Christmas. And it's organized by Musango and Sylvia Osong and, of course, our friend Olivia Franklin. And it's going to have – it's just – it's like a fun little park for your family to go and you know, bounce houses and – singing Christmas carols, and it's very Christocentric, and it's not just, you know, Santa Claus and elves. It's you know, focused on Christ, and there's a whole lot of things going. But if you go to the website christmasjoypark.com, you can see all about it. Get your tickets 5 to 10 p.m. each evening. I think it's kind of cool that it's an evening event, because I don't know, right before Christmas, I don't know, there's just kind of a, I don't know, it's just a special, beautiful time. And to do this with your family, I highly recommend you doing it. And then the other thing I want to tell you about real quickly is the upcoming Fullness of Truth Conference in Allen, which will be next weekend, the 5th through the 7th of December. It's going to have a Marian theme, Hail Immaculata, Mother Mary, and Heaven's Plan for Spiritual Warfare. The speakers include Father Donald Calloway, Jeff Cavins, who is the guy behind the Great Adventure Bible Study, Monsignor Eugene Morris, Ingrid Meyer, who was a guest a couple of weeks ago, Gabe Castillo, who's very, very popular on social media, and also the music of Dave and Lauren Moore. And so I'm going to be the MC. I'm very excited about this, but please go to fullnessoftruth.org, fullnessoftruth.org, the conference in Allen, first weekend of December, so it'll be not not this weekend, but the weekend after that. And I hope to see you there, because that's going to be a really, really great event. All right, Cicel, I know we like to kind of capture this segment, so I'm just going to be quiet and let you officially start the segment about the Catholic Foundation.
Yes, as we talked about earlier, I was blessed to go out to the fall Catholic Foundation grant ceremony that happened a couple Fridays ago, and it happened at a parish that I actually frequent fairly often, Sacred Heart of Jesus Vietnamese Parish in Carrollton, and I frequent it because they have fantastic confession time, so I am there pretty often, so it was great to be able to see all these folks gathering who received grants from the Catholic Foundation, and they awarded $988,000 worth of grants to 16 different Dallas area Catholic schools and parishes and charitable organizations. And as you mentioned, Dave, we really always enjoy going to these events because it's a room full of very joyful people who are excited just to talk about their organization it's done in a great way. Matt Kramer, the president, he opens it up talking a little bit about the background of, you know, these grants going out. And then each, you know, someone from each organization or parish is invited to come up and talk a little bit about what the grant money is going to be used for. And it's always very, it's short, it's sweet, but it really gives you an idea of just what is happening in our Catholic community here in North Texas. So that's one of my favorite parts of it. And I was blessed to be able to talk to a few people afterwards. And first and foremost, I did a very low-hanging fruit in that I was sitting next to Maria Motz, who is one on the board of trustees and was one of the people who got to go out to some of these locations and, you know, go over all the grant submissions. And so she was super enthusiastic about her job. She's been doing it for the last 4 years. She's been part of this. And so I was like, Maria, can I ask you some questions about, you know, how you have found being on the Board of Trustees and what you have gotten out of it? So without further ado, here is Maria Motz.
Having come to Dallas in 1990, left in 08, and then back in 2021, I wanted to re-engage with the Catholic community. I wanted to understand the growth with, like, I could sense it, but I wanted to see it because I plan to retire here. And so I wanted to be of service. And by talking to friends about the Catholic Foundation, I knew that they were involved with many, many different areas of the diocese, and that's why I joined as a trustee. So in the last 4 years, I have in fact seen the growth in the diocese, which I think has been exponential. And I've had the opportunity to go to different parishes, different Catholic schools, where there's a need. And so there's a request for a grant for some funds. And as a trustee, I have the opportunity to go and meet with the people that are the requesters, learn a little bit about what the need is, and then have an opportunity to actually, you know, provide for that grant. So my best part has been exactly that. All the people that I've met, and I shared with you earlier that it's amazing how few people make such a huge impact as they give their time. And I only hope that that inspiration I'll carry with me as I continue here in the diocese.
So that was Maria Motz, and as you can tell,
the audio sounded really good.
Right? Yes. A really quick sidebar. Oh, he was using a new microphone setup that Joe and Kent helped me with. So
yeah, like perfect.
That's
ambient
on my
noise.
Phone. That's yeah. It was recorded via my phone, but with a microphone attached to it with a little GRN flag on it. So it was quite fun to be able to do that. So you can see Maria clearly is enjoying what she is doing for the Catholic Foundation, and she talked about how she loves seeing that there are small groups of people that are doing great things in the diocese. And one of the ones that she highlighted in particular outside of our recorded conversation was the St. Vincent de Paul Society. And specifically, she was blessed to go over to Holy Family of Nazareth Catholic Church and their St. Vincent de Paul conference, where they asked, were put in a grant for helping build a standalone building for their food pantry. And so I got to talk to one of those, you know, small group of people that keep this going and help serve their community, Robert Greenfield. And so I asked him a little bit about what their grant's going to be used for, and to talk a little bit about what St. Vincent de Paul is doing at Holy Family of Nazareth.
We've undertaken some fundraising to build a standalone pantry building for our conference of St. Vincent de Paul. Last year we delivered over 1,000 deliveries of food to the poor. They call our helpline and they can request financial aid or food or both, and we deliver both. So we were now in three different locations on our campus, so we're spread out. We don't have enough room. It's inefficient, but the new building that we're going to be able to build will be 1,500 square feet, and we'll have refrigerators and heating and air conditioning and a utility sink and even a restroom for our workers, and they'll be happy about that. I attribute our success to the fundraising to God's providence, because I didn't know what we were going to do to raise this money, but he brought people into our lives that were very generous and very loving and very caring, and they made it happen. You know, it was all up to him.
So that was Robert Greenfield from the St. Vincent de Paul Conference at Holy Family of Nazareth. And I love that he highlighted that they're going to have a bathroom and they're going to have air conditioning and everything.
They'll be very happy.
They'll be very happy. Imagine operating, though, a food pantry where on across a Catholic parish campus, it's in like three different areas. Uh-huh. And so how nice it will be for everyone to kind of have a clear, like people who are coming to receive these donations, like kind of have a more clear vision mm-hmm. of where they're going.
Yeah.
So
very nice.
Super, super helpful for that. So thanks to Robert for taking some time to talk to me. And then we have an old friend of GRN, Father Timo, I got to speak with as well. And he's been the chaplain at what is now called the Tinker Catholic Student Center at UTD, which is something that really has only been around now for a few years, having a building on the campus of UTD where Catholics, college students can gather together to have Mass. And specifically the grant they are using for a very fun outdoor seating area with fire pits, which I think is just great for community building. So here's Father Timo talking a little bit about that.
So the University Catholic Center opened 3 years ago. Since then, we changed our name to Tinker Catholic Student Center. We've been open for 3 years, and this is the first year when we managed to open the new chapel through generosity of many. And now we're working on an outdoor patio where the students, they enjoy spending time outside, and there is no welcoming or good space or safe space to do it. So now we're going to open an outdoor patio where they can hang out by a fire, study outside, enjoy themselves. Originally, the Catholic students would meet on campus. There was around 40 to 60 students per Mass on a given Sunday, if there was Mass. Now, on average, we have 220 to 250 students coming to Sunday Mass. And on daily Mass, we get 30 to 40 students and some local community members. And the building is open every day, and every day there is more and more students, not only Catholic, but also other faiths coming to enjoy this space and to feel loved by the Lord through the mission of the bishop we can provide. I think it's very important. Our mission mainly is to make him feel loved by the Lord, because man cannot do miracles, but God can. And so through the facilities we have, through the welcoming we offer, through the community that the Lord is building at the Tinker Catholic Student Center, more and more students are showing up and finding a home away from home.
Fire pits help too, right?
Yes, fire pit coming up.
I just joked a little bit about that the fire pits will continue to help, I think, bring more students to the Catholic Student Center.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
That's really awesome. It's good to see those kind of cozy settings where I think maybe some really big conversations about faith and life can happen, especially during those college years. So really grateful for Father Timo for all he's doing at the campus level for our college students in the area. And I was also blessed to grab another priest, Father Roshan Fernandez, who is the pastor of Nuestra Señora del Pilar, and they got a grant to help remodel their youth center, and particularly more of an outdoor area that is going to be used for the youth, but also for all parishioners as well. So I kind of got a little bit of an update from what's happening also at the parish, because they are one of the designated pilgrimage sites for the Jubilee pilgrimage year.
Oh, like so, the doors?
Yes.
The doors.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Father Sean makes also a little bit of an invitation for people to come out, because less than a month, I think, just about a month left that you can participate in that. So here is Father Roshan.
Looking at our reality of our parish, which we are growing, and also we are doing many, many projects at this time. And one of the projects was the remodeling of the youth center. And as soon as we made the youth center, which we did not have any grant, but we used the money of the parish, but we saw the need that also we needed an outdoor space, which we needed some help. So I reached out to the Catholic Foundation. This is, we call it as a youth center, St. James Youth Center, but it is for all the ministries of the parish, you know, because I want to have a place for the youth, which is like a safe haven for them, because our youth, they go to play different parks in different places. But something which we have of our parish, I can guarantee it is safe for them. You know, with the things going around this world, you know, I want them to be protected and also to grow in their faith, even in the activities of their sports. I also want to invite you in our parish. As you know, the Jubilee year is coming to end. Our parish is one of the pilgrim centers to gain their plenary indulgences. And also the church has been recently renovated. We have 16 new icons painted around the church. So if you are come, you are welcome to come, and to also I will be happy to receive you and explain to you the icons what we have.
So you've got that personal invitation. That means you should head out to Nuestro Señor de Pilar, which I don't think I've actually ever been there myself. I know we frequently go there to sell car raffle tickets. And is it not Martin's parish?
Yeah, it's primarily Hispanic.
That's really cool, though, if you would like to go see. And I'm just noticing, Dave, that there's a trend on the people that I spoke to, especially the last two and then my very last one. It's a lot about outdoor spaces for people to gather, which I think is kind of fun. And so the last person I was able to chat with was Faustin Weber, who is the president of Prince of Peace Catholic School in Plano. And they're putting in an outdoor classroom space, which I think is really interesting because, as you'll hear Faustin talk about, is, you know, we're kind of living where the current generations are living in walls sometimes and not always being out in the sunshine and being outside. And so how it's good for both the students and the teachers. So here is Faustin Weber talking all about their outdoor classroom space.
Our school of 795 kids, and we've been there since 1991. And like a lot of buildings that were designed at that era, they have interior courtyards to give our interior classrooms natural light. And our interior courtyard had been kind of neglected over the years. And so we wanted to make it into an outdoor classroom to bring kids outside. You know, we're raising a nation of cave dwellers. Our kids don't get outside enough. So if we can find a way to get them outside and continue with the learning, that's a blessing to everybody, maybe most of all the teachers. So that's what we're doing. And this particular grant allows us to put on the outside of that courtyard a mural. There's a wall for Our Lady of Guadalupe. And we think that's going to be the nice finishing touch for this. Like most Dallas Catholic institutions, we have a good number of Hispanic families. And we really don't have any artwork that reflects Our Lady of Guadalupe in our school. So we thought it would be a nice addition.
And who do you think is most excited about the outdoor learning, the teachers or the students?
I think that the teachers are, to be honest with you. They've been watching the progress of this as they go, and they're eager to get out with their classes. They're an extraordinary group. What a blessing to the Diocese of Dallas and all of the member institutions to have this forethoughtful group that's doing all this great work for the church. They were very generous, and they led me through the process. It was very easy.
And that was Faustin also commenting on how good the Catholic Foundation is to work with and how grateful he is for having them to create a space like this that they have at Prince of Peace, and particularly that mural that's going to be of our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, which I'm excited to see how that turns out. So hopefully we'll see some pictures online.
Yeah, and I love the, as I mentioned, with the Catholic Foundation event, because basically we just covered about four or five different, you know, churches, apostolates, schools, geographically diverse, from Nuestro Señor del Pilar to Richardson with UTD and Plano. I mean, we're all over the place. And just because you showed up for an event, a lunch event for the, and did all those interviews. So awesome. Thanks to Bill Kula, because he's always the guy that lets us know about these events and invites us, and we enjoy it very much. And I must also say, those of you who are listening on the radio, you don't get to see Sissel, because she was not only setting that up, but she also was queuing up all those interviews, and she looked like a DJ, you know. She was pushing all these buttons and doing this, and that was quite impressive. So,
thank you.
Yeah, typically when I do that, Sissel's pushing all the buttons, and I just get to talk and introduce the clips, and then she pushes the buttons, but she was doing the whole thing, which was kind of fun to watch. And I do want to remind you, as the Father was saying from Nuestro Señor del Pilar, is that, you know, this is a plenary indulgence to visit one of these churches and, you know, do the regular requirements and the holy doors. And this opportunity is running out. My wife and I were talking about this the other day, is that time goes by so fast, but this is an opportunity to receive a plenary indulgence. And I get the feeling a lot of us, including myself, may regret not availing ourselves of these plenary indulgences when we die. And we realize that a lot of time in purgatory could have been shaved off if we had just taken more advantage of these, the gift that the church offers us with these plenary indulgences. And one other thing I'll say, and then Sissel, I don't know if you have any other comments about any of the things we've talked about so far, is how blessed we are to live in an area that is growing so much. You know, there's so much growth and people are moving here. When I was at St. Gabriel Parish on Saturday morning, I talked to a family who had just moved here from New York City a couple years ago, and how much they love Texas. Mm. And the Metroplex just keeps expanding and expanding. I remember in the early 80s when my oldest sister Mary got married, and she and her husband decided to live in Plano. And I remember thinking, like, Plano? That was so far north of us. And it was like she was moving to Canada. I mean, it just was really, people had not really been moving to Plano of all places. Now Plano is just like in the middle of the Metroplex, and it just keeps going in all directions. I mean, south, north, east, west. And I don't know where it stops, but people want to live here. And praise be to God. It's a beautiful place to live. And we've got two awesome dioceses. And so, praise God for that.
Honestly, yes. I actually just recently, someone was asking me about, you know, moving here and like, what's the Catholic community like? And like, I was like, let me tell you. And the great part is that I've only been in a few of the small areas, maybe some different suburb areas of the diocese. But there is just so many beautiful communities. You mentioned Plano, they got three Catholic parishes there. You talk about other places, it's all going to be a little bit different, but very, very vibrant Catholic living happening here.
Yep, certainly is. And so we are going to take a break now. And when I come back, I'm going to talk to Emmett Cahill. He is a world-acclaimed Irish tenor, and he is traveling all around America, and he's going to be in Keller on Saturday, December 6th. That's next Saturday for a Celtic Christmas concert. Last year, I was also emceeing the Fullness of Truth event, so I didn't go, but my wife and her friend went. And of course, my wife is Irish, and so she was really excited about that. They loved it. It's a beautiful concert. He has a beautiful, beautiful voice. And so if you want to go, I mean, I think the tickets, I don't know. I want to say they're, I don't know, $50. I mean, they're not real cheap, and maybe they have different levels depending on where you sit. I'm not sure, but I've got them for you at no charge. If you would like to go to this concert next Saturday night, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Keller. And I think it starts at 7 o'clock, but I will mail you the tickets. And so I do have some remaining. And if you would like to go, email me, DavePalmer@grnonline.com, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. And when we come back from this three-minute break, I will have, God willing, on the line with me, Emmett Cahill himself, talking about his music, himself, life in Ireland, and this concert that's coming up next Saturday in Keller. So we'll be back right after this. Hi, this is Dave Palmer. By now you've heard that the Christmas Share-a-thon is coming Monday, December 1st through Friday, December 5th. And this is our final on-air fundraiser of the year. And I have a goal of 1,000 faithful KTH 910 AM listeners, just like you, calling in that week with donations of any size. Whether you can give $10 or $10,000, your call, your donation will make a difference. So please plan to call in that week, because I need everyone to participate. And also, please pray for the Share-a-thon and tell your friends about it.
Attention Medicare beneficiaries. Annual enrollment is here. Now is the chance to review your Medicare plan and make sure you're getting the coverage and benefits you need for 2026. My name is Michelle Vina, a sponsor of this station and owner of Morningstar 65, which is dedicated to helping Catholics with their Medicare plans. My husband Kevin and I are active members of St. Mary the Virgin Parish in Arlington. For more information about Morningstar 65 and the services available, you can visit morningstar65.com. That's morningstar65.com.
Have you heard of Christmas Joy Park? It's the perfect Christmas holiday experience happening December 19th through the 22nd from 5 to 10 p.m. each evening at St. Jude Parish in Allen. Christmas Joy Park is a great way to celebrate the real meaning of Christmas while creating lasting memories with your loved ones. Activities will include a walkthrough nativity, Christmas sing-alongs, a Christmas marketplace, and fun activities for the kids like bounce houses and Christmas card decorating. Visit ChristmasJoyPark.com for more information.
It's time to register for the 15th annual Catholic Brothers for Christ Men's Faith event. This North Texas Catholic Men's Gathering on Saturday, February 28th, takes place at the Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Plano. One of our four guest speakers is Bishop Edward Byrne, the 8th Bishop of the Dallas Diocese. Bishop Byrne will powerfully help men to fight back against the snares of the devil. Join 1,000 other men and stand firm as a warrior for Christ in a fallen world. By attending, you'll become a stronger and bolder spiritual leader. Visit CatholicBrothersForChrist.com for details and to register.
Did you know that there are 69 parishes in the Diocese of Dallas and 92 parishes in the Diocese of Fort Worth? Our mission here at the GRN is to serve these parishes as best possible, and the most effective way to do this is when we have a dedicated ambassador at each parish who can serve as our boots on the ground, telling us about news and events at the parish. Currently, there are a lot of parishes where we do not have an active ambassador. Would you like to be our ambassador at your parish? If so, email me and let's talk about it. Dave Palmer at grnonline.com.
Hi, my name is Gabriel Garrison. I'm currently studying at the University of Dallas, and I'm a former student of Homeschool Connections, a Catholic online provider of live and recorded classes for grade school, middle school, and high school students. At Homeschool Connections, your student can learn from teachers with high levels of experience in their fields. You can learn more by visiting homeschoolconnections.com, a sponsor of the GRN. That's homeschoolconnections.com.
Well, welcome back to the Good News Show here on KTH 910 AM and also KCPP 1140 AM to the west. We are glad you're with us. This is a show that we do live every week to get you up to date on what is happening around the Metroplex and introduce you to folks that are doing great things to build up the body of Christ. And I'm excited that for at least the third year in a row, maybe more than that, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Keller is teaming up with world-acclaimed Irish tenor Emmett Cahill for a Celtic Christmas concert. And this year's is going to be next Saturday, December 6th, beginning at 7:30 p.m. at the parish. And if you're not familiar with Emmett Cahill, he is the lead singer of the Celtic Thunder Irish group. And as I mentioned, a world-acclaimed Irish tenor. And if you go to his website, which is just his name, emmettcahill.com, you'll see that he has a very, very busy schedule of concerts this Christmas season from now all the way up until, I think, December 21st. And they're all in America, which is cool. We've got Emmett Cahill for this whole season. And he joins me on the phone to talk about, in particular, this event coming up next Saturday in Keller. Emmett, how you doing? Good to talk with you.
Dave, how are you?
Good. Are you in? I see you've got a lot of California concerts in the next week or two. Are you in America right now, or are you in Ireland?
I'm actually in Ireland at the minute. I'm just on a little break from a tour. I actually just last week hosted a bus trip around Ireland. It was a Catholic bus trip from people from all over the states, and some churches I've sung in, and we did the whole Footsteps of St. Patrick for about 9 days, and it was great. So I did that, and I head out to San Francisco on Friday and start the tour on Saturday. So yeah.
Oh, how cool. Yeah, that's the one that Scott and Amy Cook from St. Elizabeth participated in, that didn't they?
Yeah, we had a bunch of people from Seas and Keller. We had Scott and Amy are great friends of ours, and it was a delight to have them. And yeah, we had people from really Catholics from all over the states wanted to go to Ireland, discover, the whole roots of Christianity and Catholicism. And we went to a place like Knock in the west of Ireland, a place of pilgrimage. And Down Patrick, as I said, the gravesite of St. Patrick, going back thousands of years. So Ireland's a pretty old country, as you know, Dave. So we've lots of history to tell.
Yeah, I'm married to an Irish woman, so I get the benefit of going over to Ireland quite often. But I almost always go to the north, and I very rarely get down into the Republic. But pretty much everybody in America either has been to Ireland or wants to go. It's just like one of the most popular sites. Of course, there's a lot of people with Irish blood in them here in America as well. But
yeah.
Do you find in particular that Americans love to come and visit the country?
I do, yeah, and as you mentioned there, like there's obviously a lot of Irish Americans who want to go and trace ancestry, and we kind of curate those trips for them to come and experience Ireland, kind of from my eyes, from someone who's born and raised here, and in some ways kind of brings Ireland with me when I tour and bring the music. But it's funny, we've had a lot of people over the years come, they don't have Irish ancestry, but they love the culture, they love the kind of inclusivity of it, they want to be part of it, whether it's the music or the storytelling or the whole spiritual and Christian side of Ireland. There's so much there. So we have people, Hispanic people who are very Catholic but really connect to the Irish view on faith. So
it's an interesting kind of mixture of people just want to experience something authentic and real. And Ireland is one of those places that has really preserved that. And, you know, we have quite a unique culture. It's very inclusive. You know, everyone knows how to sing an Irish song or join in. So it's all part of it.
Yeah, I remember being at my wife's mom's house many years ago when we first got married, and they had an Irish sing-along, and you had all the different musicians, and this is all just like blood relatives, and it was something that they were doing on a pretty regular basis. They just kind of get together and play music and sing songs, and it it wasn't part of my growing up, but I imagine in your family, did you have a singing family? Did you guys get together on a regular basis, just informally, and just sing and play instruments?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm the real Irish stereotype in that my dad was a piano player and a church organist. You know, so from very young he was teaching us, you know, anything from Irish folk songs to, you know, church hymns, all that sort of stuff coming from an Irish Catholic background. You know, you had to be able to sing. Even if you couldn't sing, you were made sing. It was kind of it was a rite of passage. Whenever my mom and dad would have friends over, you know, or even when my grandparents would visit, you know, they wouldn't be allowed to leave until, you know, Emmett would be put up on a chair and have to sing a song. You know, it was one of those things. And when you're a kid, it's kind of annoying. But now it's like, okay, I'm glad they made me do it because it's what I love to do. So they kind of said to me, you know, some of these songs might come in handy someday. And I used to say, nah, I don't think so. But they were right. So it's great. No, I mean, the Irish culture is, and it is one of those things, like, if you're at an Irish sing-along, you know, we often say, you know, it's nice to have a song in your pocket, you know, just something, or a party piece, or a joke, or, you know, there's, it kind of, you pass the hat around, and everyone has to take a turn at, you know, doing something. So, even at my own shows now, I kind of bring a little bit of that element to it, where there's not many tenors who make the audience sing along with a couple of songs, but I certainly do, because it's just kind of, it's the way I learned music, as like music was something to be shared together. It wasn't just about, you know, the soloist. It was about, well, how do we get everyone invested in this? How do we get everybody to feel like, you know, that's my story or I'm part of this. And that has probably stood to me in good stead over the years, and that I get invited to sing so many places. Obviously, I do my thing and I tell my stories, but I think, you know, especially with churches, they have great choirs and they always want to collaborate with me. So it's come full circle.
Yeah, you know, and Ireland has such a rich history of music, even on a secular level. I remember when I was in high school, the biggest band in the world, I mean, it was U2, and then, of course, the Cranberries and Van Morrison. And like you say, it's kind of ingrained in the culture itself, even on a secular level, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's you know, we always say in Ireland that a lot of these people have, we kind of punch above our weight, you know, in terms of, we're only a country of about, you know, 4 or 5 million people, but we've had this impact across the world. And yeah, you mentioned all those people, like, you know, U2, and then modern day you've got, you know, people like Hozier, and then you look at, you know, great Irish actors who've won Oscars. And, you know, it's, you know, I suppose the arts is a huge part of Ireland, because, you know, we have stories to tell, partly because obviously it's well documented. We have a very colored history with, you know, anything from, you know, emigration and war and fighting for independence, you know. And so out of kind of difficult moments, kind of, that's what breeds great art in a way, whether it be going back to the poetry of, you know, W.B. Yeats or Oscar Wilde or Seamus Heaney, you know, people like that. So, you know, the Irish, when they emigrated, particularly when they went to the States, you know, they had to leave everything behind. But the one thing they really could take with them and share with the world was their songs, their music, and their stories, because that's what kept them connected to their identity. They may never have made it back to Ireland, but they always felt that they had a part of Ireland with them. So I kind of, in many ways, I'm lucky enough that I can go over and back from Ireland to the States a lot, but I'm always very aware that when I'm away, and that these songs are kind of a conduit for, you know, the generations of Irish people that went before me. So there is a kind of a patriotic element to what I do, in that I'm very proud to, you know, sing these songs. And then, as you've mentioned, you know, they resonate with people like your wife and you know, the millions of people in America who you know, their ancestors made that very journey. So there's kind of a, there's a nice unity in the culture itself.
Yeah, certainly. Can you, Emmett Cahoe, by the way, is my guest. He's coming to St. Elizabeth Anseton Parish in Keller next Saturday, December 6th, for a Celtic Christmas concert, world-acclaimed Irish tenor Emmett Cahoe. And I do, thanks to Scott Cook, who is the chief of staff over there at the parish, he has given me some tickets that I can give away. And so as you listen to my interview with Emmett now, if you'd like to go, and I've got some tickets that I'll physically mail to you, so email me, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. I can give you up to 4 tickets. And again, you gotta, this is not a free concert. You'd have to buy your tickets otherwise. But just because of Scott's generosity, I have some tickets to give away. Email me, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. And Emmett, before we get to the concert in particular, because I'd love to talk about that and maybe the song list and so a little bit more about what you'll be doing next Saturday in Keller. But the Catholic faith is so ingrained in Irish culture, and I think here in America, we see Ireland perhaps as having lost a lot of that. We see it as very secular, but my wife is quick to remind me about some really positive things that are happening in the Catholic faith. I think up in Northern Ireland, I think it might have been in Derry or Belfast, they had a big Christ the King procession yesterday that the whole country was invited to. And so there's Sister Claire Crockett. You might be familiar with her and some, you know, causes of canonization. But can you speak about maybe some of the positive things happening faith-wise in Ireland, you know, today?
Yeah, I mean, there has been, I suppose, there's a modernization of every society, you know, across the world. But, you know, I think you see it also in America. There's kind of people, you know, time progresses. But I think there has been a bit of a turn, especially my generation. I'm 35. And looking, say, for my age and even younger, I think people do want to go back a little bit now to more traditional values. So if you look at the very bedrock of Catholic faith, like, what is it based upon? It's obviously based on, you know, having, you know, a very strong relationship with God. But at the same time, it's around family, the traditions of, you know, being together, about looking after neighbors, looking after people that you love, you know, about raising families in an environment that, you know, is, I suppose, influenced by faith in terms of your mores, you know, like all that stuff is, even though Ireland, you know, attendances at masses may have been down in recent years, there is still, you know, the sense of what we've learned from Catholic faith in everyday society. I mean, even if you go back to the Irish language, which is also having a huge resurgence, you know, Catholic, I suppose, references are right in the Irish language. Like, for example, the way you say hello in Irish, the most basic thing is Dia Gwich, which is 2 words, and Dia Gwich literally translates to God be with you. Mm. And the answer to Dia Gwich is Dies Mora Gwich, which is God and Mary be with you. So, like, we still, it's very ingrained in our culture, as you've mentioned. And, you know, even over the trip that I hosted last week, we went to places like Downpatrick and Knock and Kylemore Abbey, where the nuns have had that incredible place for, you know, well over 100 years. And we performed in some beautiful churches, in St. Mary's Church in Belfast, and we visited Derry. And, you know, I would say that Catholicism is very alive and well in Ireland. It's just you have to look at it from a different point of view now. But I will say that families in Ireland are turning back towards the traditions that Catholicism would have instilled, as I said, in terms of family structure, society, you know. It, I mean, I went to a Catholic primary school or elementary school. Like, they are the schools that, to be honest with you, that a lot of Irish families want to send their kids to now, because they know there's such a strong education base there, but it's also brought up through faith, and it teaches kids a great sense of morals. And so there's so much good there, but it's just found in different ways now than it would have been, you know, for my parents' generation. So Ireland has modernized, but I think we all still have a sense of that Catholic faith ingrained in us.
Yeah, praise God. A Celtic Christmas concert is going to be on Saturday, December 6th. So it'll be not this weekend, but the following weekend. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Keller with world-acclaimed Irish tenor Emmett Cahill. You may have heard him with Celtic Thunder. My wife and I, by the way, saw you with Celtic Thunder a few years ago, Emmett. Are you still touring with them? Is that group still intact?
Oh, we are. We just did a 40-city U.S. tour in September and October. We'll be out again in the fall. We're due to make a big announcement on a tour. I can't say where, but in the Southern Hemisphere in the spring. We're very busy touring. You know, we obviously had a couple of years off when we were back in Ireland in 2020 and 21. But yeah, since then it's really kicked off again. And we feel very blessed. As you mentioned, the reason for that is there's such a popularity of Irish music. So that does tie into very much what I do, as I mentioned. You know, I was brought up on folk music and sacred music, and those two, you know, marry very well together when you're telling the Irish story, particularly sacred music, because it's such a part of our culture.
I'm just curious, you know, we talked about how much Americans love Ireland and Irish culture and green beer but is that worldwide? I mean, you talked about going to the Southern Hemisphere. Do you find that the Irish culture music is just like universally loved, or is it particularly loved in America?
I would say that, you know, like Irish emigration, obviously over the centuries, the bulk of people went either to the UK or they went to the States. A lot of people were in places like Australia. There's obviously a presence in Canada as well. So we've always been, you know, very well received. You know, people, like if you look at St. Patrick's Day celebrations from around the world, like one of the biggest festivals is like Rio de Janeiro or, you know, Sydney, Australia, or, you know, obviously New York City or, you know, places like that. So, I think it really does connect for the reasons that you've mentioned, that people kind of want to feel a part of it and it's inclusive. But, you know, our sort of connection to America, I think, is very strong and very unique. And I've sort of been witness to that. So I'd say America, we kind of see America as kind of the big brother of Ireland. We've always had great relationships. We've always, you know, I mean, I think there's been more American presidents with Irish roots than any other country. So that kind of tells you about how highly we think of America.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, it's a Celtic Christmas concert. Everybody's familiar with Christmas concerts and they know the songs. What's different or what's unique about a Celtic Christmas concert? And maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the songs in the playlist. Well, give us a little preview of what people can expect next Saturday night in Keller.
Yeah, well, obviously, we're at the beautiful church in Keller. You know, it's a beautiful Catholic church, a very reverent space to perform music. And you're going to have, obviously, your hymns, your Christmas hymns, like A Holy Night. And for example, I do Silent Night. I sing it in the Irish language. I sing a piece called The Wexford Carol, which is a kind of ethereal Irish song, Irish tune that tells the story of the three shepherds who followed the star to Bethlehem. You have a piece called Donaíche Uí Mhéill, which also tells that story again in the Irish language. So, like O Come Emmanuel, you know, that hymn, that tune actually has Irish roots in terms of how the melody runs. So there's a Celtic influence in a lot of Christmas hymns and songs that people don't actually realize. So there's that, and then of course there's going to be, as I said, the likes of A Holy Night, the First Noel, all the, you know, the Christmas hymns that people know and love. So in many ways, I kind of tell of my own Christmas experiences from an Irish perspective. You know, even things like the tradition of a candle in the window welcoming in a stranger, that's an Irish Christmas tradition. Everyone in Ireland lights a candle on Christmas Eve to welcome Jesus into their home. So it's, I kind of speak about all those traditions that people may not know about coming from a different cultural background. So a Celtic Christmas, I give my Celtic perspective on it, really.
Oh, that's great. Do you travel with musicians or do you use locals?
So So I travel with my piano accompanist, Seamus, and then when we go to any of the churches, we perform with the choirs. The night before, I'm in Keller. I'm in Arkansas with the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra. We work with them. So it's the nice thing about what I do, Dave, is that everywhere I go, it's a slightly different setup. It keeps it interesting for me. But obviously I collaborate with the guys in Tempe Thunder, but I love collaborating with other ensembles and as I said, choirs and instrumentalists and orchestras. So it keeps it it always keeps it interesting, and you get to see other people, you know, show their talents as well.
Do you enjoy life on the road?
I do. I mean, there's ups and downs for sure. You know, I think the hardest part, honestly, is the traveling. When you get on stage or you stand in a beautiful church and you have a packed church full of people who really want to experience and feel something and listen to you tell your stories and sing your songs. I mean, that's the reward. Some people say to me, do you not get tired with the performing? The performing actually energizes me, because that's me kind of in my natural habitat. You know, since I was 4 years of age, you know, my dad would have me standing up at the pulpit singing in church. So I feel as at home there as I do anywhere else. So I feel very relaxed and energized by that. So it's just more that, you know, sorry, sir, your flight is canceled, but we have another one in 3 hours. That's the stuff that gets me.
Yeah, that certainly is. Well, Emmett, it's so great to talk to you. And I noticed that, you mentioned going to San Francisco here soon, and then you're going to go through California and Texas and Arkansas and a lot of different, Georgia and a lot of different sites. And then I noticed, I think your last concert in America is December 21st. Do you get to get home to Ireland for Christmas itself this year?
I do. So it's a Sunday afternoon concert with the New Albany Symphony Orchestra. I get off stage at 4:30, Dave. I'm in an Uber at 4:31 to get to Cleveland Airport. So I'll get home on the 22nd, because the reality is, Dave, I've got to get back to sing at Cathedral of Christ the King in Mullingar on Christmas Eve. Our bishop sends a letter to me every early December every year and says, Emmett, we know the Americans love you, but you better be home to sing. So I'm under strict orders.
Yeah, that's right. Obedience to your bishop. That is awesome. Well, Emma, thanks for your time. We're so excited to welcome you back to North Texas. I know Scott and Amy Scott was just blown away by his time in Ireland, and he enjoyed it so much. We thank you for your time again. Emmett Cahill, world acclaimed Irish tenor. He's with Celtic Thunder, and he's coming on his own with his pianist, Seamus, as he mentioned. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Keller next Saturday, December 6th. The concert's at 7:30. And you can go to emmettcahill.com, emmettcahill.com, and get tickets. But I have still a few tickets to give away. And so I've gotten some emails. People are responding. If you'd like to have a couple of tickets, email me right away, because these are going to run out. DavePalmer@grnonline.com. DavePalmer@grnonline.com. Thanks again, Emmett. Thank you. And I was going to say happy Thanksgiving, but you'll be here for Thanksgiving. So hope you have an enjoyable Thanksgiving this Thursday. God bless you. And thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Dave. God bless. See you soon, my friend. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, that was fun talking to Emmett Cahill. And so, yeah, if you want some tickets, people are texting me and emailing me. And they're going to run out. I have physical tickets that I have to mail to you. So please email or text me right away. Email is DavePalmer@grnonline.com. Emmett Cahill, a Celtic Christmas concert next Saturday, December 6th, over in Keller. And the reason I'm personally not going to be able to go is because I'm going to be emceeing the event, Fullness of Truth. You know, it's when you live in a big metroplex like this, there's always competing events. You know, it's one of the blessings and curses.
The blessings of curses of a vibrant Catholic community.
I know. There's always a lot of things going on. So I know I'm excited about the Fullness of Truth Conference. I don't have any more of those tickets to give away, but I invite you to go to that. Even if you go to the Emmett Cahill concert, you can still participate in, you know, 90% of the Fullness of Truth. So just pack up your weekend and do a whole bunch of stuff. FullnessofTruth.org, Father Calloway and Jeff Cavins and little old me is MC. Ingrid Myers is going to be giving a talk about Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's going to be a great event in Allen. And this has been a busy show. And so, so I think I'm getting a lot of responses about those tickets. If you want them, Dave Palmer at grnonline.com. And don't forget, 1 week from today starts the Christmas Share-a-thon. And if you appreciate the programming on the station, and you want us to stay on the air and keep thriving and not just surviving, well, do plan to donate during that week. And I'm just going to throw this out there, so it's the last thing, okay? We love doing these contingent matching gifts, okay? This is typically $10,000, all or nothing. And I've been asked, like, see if you can find somebody that wants to do a contingent matching gift. I'm just going to throw it out there. If anybody's listening right now and you have that kind of capacity and you want to have a really exciting hour where we can challenge our listeners to get $10,000, all or nothing, well, email me at that same address and let's talk about it, because I would love to have a contingent matching gift or two to challenge our listeners next week during the Christmas Share-a-thon. Dave Palmer at grnonline.com. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Monday and a very, very happy and holy and peaceful Thanksgiving with your family on Thursday. We'll see you next Monday. God bless you for the Share-a-thon.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show. KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.
Difficult day of being a mom without the radio. I wouldn't have entered the church. It really helped us learn so much about the faith.
The Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.